You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
And it is Saturday morning again on the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon. It is, God, it's almost the end of the year. It is Saturday, December 30th, 2017, and we are out and about. Again, I'm John Shannon, along with Mr. Ed Van Ness from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
It is a beautiful, cold day in Minnesota, and we are probably one of the warmer areas with an air temperature of 14 below zero. Now, that's air temperature. That's not feels like or anything like that.
Feels like hell.
It feels like hell, yeah. It is. It is... not going to be a fun New Year's Eve.
I want to say, now, as much as I normally enjoy taking digs at the rest of you Eskimos at this time of year, because when you live in South Florida, that is what you do. You point fingers and laugh at you folks slipping in the snow and wearing big, big, heavy clothes. But I got to tell you, this is some serious stuff coming down now. This is some serious cold. This isn't joking around stuff. And it's going to be very interesting tomorrow night to see how many of these fools are standing out in Times Square for 12 hours. What they're calling now for it with the wind, an 11 degree air temperature with a wind chill anywhere between -5 and -10 degrees, which, by the way, in my book, you get below zero, cold is cold, period.
Pretty much. Because I was going to say our expected feels like temperature, wind chill temperature, tomorrow night is expected to be 23 to 25 below zero.
And again, you get to a certain point, it's like, you know, what the?
You know, I hate to tell you this, but actually, zero does. You can feel the difference between 0 and 15 below zero, and with the wind chill, and
I'm going to take your word for that.
You don't want to come and find out for yourself, huh?
Oh, not, this boy's not from Missouri. I believe you. I believe every word you say about that.
Oh, so it was a great Christmas that we had. Had lots of fun. We jammed a lot of people into my stepdaughter's apartment. I didn't hear that. What was that, Ed?
I didn't say a word.
Oh, I heard a grr. I don't know what that was, but anyways. Yeah, I don't want to know. We stuffed everybody in her place on Christmas Eve. They stuffed everybody in our place on Christmas Day. We had a great time, ate lots of food. Don't want to sit here and brag about the fact that, you know, all I can say is when you got six people participating, or five actually, participating in Christmas, you're going to wind up having a lot of packages under the tree, and there was no room left underneath this tree. Matter of fact, we had to go in other places to store the bounty, if you will. So yeah, we spent probably a good hour and a half with everybody opening packages.
Well, so, I can think of worse problems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I gotta tell you, one of the most fun that we had, actually, I think, was the day after Christmas. Though one of my presents to Annie was two tickets to see the musical Annie.
Oh.
At the Ordway Theater. Now, the Ordway Theater has been here in St. Paul for about 30 years. That's my first time stepping foot in that venue.
Have you never seen a live theater production?
The only live theater production I have seen was a little garage play type thing called The Madness of Michelle Bachman. I think in that I think there was probably maybe 30 seats in the entire, literally, it's like a garage. As many, I think it was called the Minneapolis Play Garage or something like that. It's no longer there. This is
way, way off Broadway.
Well, exactly. But it was funny. It was enjoyable.
Okay.
But no, that is the first major stage production that I have ever seen. I got to tell you, I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a lot of fun.
Wait until you see Annie.
Oh, we've already went. We went.
Oh, you already went. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Oh, I thought you hadn't gone.
No, yeah, we went. We went the day after, actually.
Just thinking about tomorrow.
Okay, that's about enough.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us.
One of the things I picked up out of seeing Annie was during the intermission. Yes, plays have a halftime, just like football, believe it or not.
please, you're not telling me that.
Oh, you've been to a few yourself, you said?
Oh, have I been to a few Broadway shows? Mm. You know what I used to do part-time?
What?
I was an usher and a ticket taker at Broadway theaters.
Really?
No, I've seen... And I only did it for about 4 years, and I saw a ton of shows. My mother did it. My grandmother did it. Everybody from my neighborhood. That's the neighborhood I grew up in.
Oh.
The theater I worked at literally was on the same street that I lived on.
Nice.
I saw Annie. I'm going to veer off for a second. I saw the original production of Annie, and I do mean the original production. Mm-hmm. When it opened, Andrea McArdle.
Okay.
Now, it ran on Broadway for a lot of years, for a bunch of years. But what happened, because of contracts and there were some mistakes, and it wasn't unusual for a Broadway show to change theaters. It didn't happen often, but every now and again it would for a variety of reasons. Well, Annie, in the course of about a year and a half, moved to 5 different theaters.
Wow.
And it was funny because I knew stagehands, friends of mine, and they had T-shirts printed up. I was part of the Annie Broadway tour.
That's
with all
cute.
The theaters on it. And now I'm going to ask you one question, and then I'll let you go back. I'm interrupting. But in this production, when did Tomorrow, the song Tomorrow, did that occur just prior to intermission?
Actually, it was more towards the beginning when they were still in the still in the orphanage. Yes.
All right, then let me ask it this way: did the first act end with the Pooch on stage by himself looking for Annie?
Again, I think that was a little bit later, because the Pooch, the first time we were introduced to the Pooch, was when she was on the street,
mm-hmm.
and then the Pooch wound up running away, running off. So at least that's how I recall it. My memory with a little less than a week to base it on. But no, the Pooch kind of ran off,
and okay, then there's a great scene, and this was again the original Broadway version.
Uh-huh.
Now, a buddy of mine worked at that show, and every Friday and Saturday night, we'd go out. He'd either come meet me at my theater, or I'd go meet him, and he was working at Annie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always get there just before intermission. Great scene. She came out. She sang the song Tomorrow on a darkened stage in a spotlight, and then she would leave the stage, and here comes Sandy, arf, arf, looking for Annie. And that dog would walk out on his own on a darkened stage to the spotlight, sit down, and with big brown dog eyes, look for his Annie. Oh, just talking about it 30-some-odd years later brings me to near tears. Oh, what a great scene it was. Oh, it just killed me. But I'm glad you enjoyed the show. How did Annie enjoy it?
She did. She really liked it as well. I remember her saying that was one of the ideas for a Christmas gift, because I remember her saying when that first came out back in like early November is when they started advertising it.
Okay.
And she said she wanted to go to that, and I've never been. I'd never thought I'd really like going to a Broadway play, especially a musical.
Oh, they're the best.
I'm not really much into musicals. That could change after all this, but no, really, we both really enjoyed it. Had a great time. Went out to Outback and had a nice steak dinner beforehand. So, all in all, a really good evening.
I can point you to any one of thousands of performances, but one that's just kind of been rattling around in my head lately. I would recommend to you, John, and you kids and kittens out there, go on YouTube, search for Anything Goes by Patti LuPone. And if that doesn't get you interested in musical theater, then nothing will. This is quintessential Broadway. Quintessential, including tap dancing. And if you turn a blind eye towards tap dancing, you're dead inside. I'm sorry.
I do wanted to bring up something real quick, and then we probably should get on the horse here. When we were, again, at halftime of the show. Well, intermission, halftime. Anyways, we saw a little presentation from an adoption group called Amphras and Families. And that was, I found that really touching. And I'm going to reach out to them here in the next few weeks and months here and actually try to help them with promotion and whatnot. You know, I don't know how much you know, but I was adopted. Actually, I was adopted by Annie's grandmother when I was 11 years old. So I know the importance of adoption and to have somebody there that's willing to take you in when times are at their worst. So hats off to them. I'm glad that they kind of opened up everybody's eyes to the need for adoptive homes, and not just for cute little babies. We are talking about the challenge of adopting older kids, especially teenagers. And I think that's really important. I think that if, especially maybe for older people, somebody maybe not quite as old as I am, but definitely for somebody in their 40s who loves the idea of having a young mind that they can try to help mold, or just being something special for a kid in their adolescence, I think that reaching out and adopting is a hell of an idea, and I would encourage anybody, if they at all have that space in their home and in their heart, to do so. Okay, that's all I have on that. Justin LaPlante is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. He is, if you didn't join us last week, he traveled up to...
Shame on you if you didn't join us last week.
Exactly. But if you weren't there, he came on, he told us he went up to Green Bay to perform a sting operation up there. It was night when the Green Bay Packers, Saturday night, Green Bay Packers were playing the Minnesota Vikings, of course. He caught some interesting audio, having to kind of listen to it on the fly. I believe the clip I listened to, he had five different Ubers he approached. All but one of them, if I'm not mistaken, after the conversation, all but one of them wound up actually agreeing to take them. But I'll wait till Justin gets on. We can discuss that a little bit more. Ed, you got something there as far as just some thoughts from this last week here and some of the things you saw. Otherwise, I can always dig out some headlines if.
It seemed to be a busy week for our friends at Uber. There was a lot that went on this week. I mean, a lot that came out. Not the least of which is over in London. There is now documented evidence that Uber lied through their teeth. TfL, Transport for London, how this organization still exists is beyond me, because it is becoming crystal clear the corruption that is rampant over there. And yay to our friends in the taxi industry over there for pushing on this. Because that is all about to fall apart. That is on top of SoftBank out of Japan has just agreed in principle to buy stocks being held by employees of Uber and early investors. Not full value, whatever that may be, but this is going to give some of those people a chance to cash out and get away from this sinking ship. Now, what scares me more than anything else is, what does SoftBank know that the rest of us don't? Why would they be throwing money at this? Especially when they're involved, I believe they're involved with Didi over in China, mm-hmm. which had the grand effect of pushing Uber out. And there was a lot that went on with them this week, and most of it good as far as our perspective is. But this SoftBank deal just is leaving me
a little puzzled, yeah.
Because there's other articles that have come out. A couple of articles came out this week. One from, I don't have any notes in front of me. I kept thinking I should write this stuff down. Oh, no. That's what John does.
No.
I'll just ignore it outright instead of going through the charade of writing it down, then not being able to find it. I'll just save a step. But I think it was the Financial Times, the Business Times, basically wrote the article that said, you know, Uber's not going to make any money. They can't. Their business plan is so tremendously flawed. There's not a chance they could ever rebound from this, especially in the situation they put themselves in.
Do they have any controlling? I mean, is it a controlling stock that they have or not really?
No, it won't be controlling. But one of the things they did get out of it was, currently the way the Uber board is set up, you have a couple of people that have quote-unquote super votes. Take a wild guess at who one of those people is.
I'm not sure.
Our boy Travis is one of them.
Oh, well, okay.
The SoftBank deal says, no, that's all gone. Because essentially what that meant was a couple of people could control the actions of the board, making the rest of the board ineffective. So that's going to be gone. Good, bad, or indifferent. Who knows? The fact that the company will still exist is a thorn in our side. That being said, now with real money coming in from a real company, perhaps now we have some more adults in the room. But I still don't see how this company survives beyond the court case. The Waymo case. That's me. I haven't heard anything new on that. I think they're pretty much off until next week, the beginning of the year. But overall, good week for the rest of the world that lost their underpants to Uber.
Yeah, John, exactly.
To you.
Exactly. Well, and sadly here, what also just happened was that while you were talking, Justin actually tried to call and I couldn't pull him in, of course, but that's just the way things go sometimes here. I will make another veiled attempt to get a hold of him. I am not quite sure, however, why that happened. Big time remember, big time professional radio, yes.
While we're on the topic, while you're doing that, I'm going to touch briefly with you folks out there that just love our big time professional radio. Well, I hate to break this to you, kids, but we're actually taking active steps to make it bigger, timier, and more professional. As we speak, software is being brought in. Huge, huge equipment is being loaded into the new palatial Radio TFI studios. We're going to have new software. We're going to have dedicated phone lines. Oh, my God, it's going to be wonderful.
And I tell you what, I don't mean to cut you off there, Ed.
Go right ahead.
But let's see here. Let me push that button. And let me just push all the buttons here. All right. All right, Justin, is that you?
Good morning, Ed and John from snow-covered Wisconsin.
Now, Ed, just out of curiosity, did you hear him? Ed, you cut out. Did you hear him?
Well, you're sharing now. I can see me. I can kind of hear him in the background.
Hello? Oh.
There he is.
Justin, I am. Yes. How is it this morning, gentlemen?
Okay, you two. I can hear you, unfortunately, just at that time. Ed talked over you.
All right, go ahead, John.
Oh, crosstalk here. Okay. Say hello, Ed, he said.
Hello, Ed, he said.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're doing just fine. Couldn't be better if I was twins.
I'm warm.
Oh, well, were you guys able to play the segment we sent this morning?
I didn't see the segment from this morning yet. I didn't see that. Of course, I haven't really dug through my phone or anything.
How about I send it to you on Facebook? It's a link.
Okay.
One moment here. Going to send it over. It's a portion of our sting operation in Green Bay from Saturday.
Now, is this a different one than you put up on YouTube?
No, this is the same segment, but now we have new information on each of the plates from that segment that I can relay to you now.
Okay. Let me see if I can pull this up here real quick.
And you might want to just play the last one because that's the most entertaining. Yeah, well, I believe it's the last minute and a half of the video.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to wind up having to do with that is with having to actually go through and listen. Let me try this real quick here.
We will put it on with the replay of the show.
There you go. That is a fabulous idea.
Okay.
Yeah, Ed will throw it in. So just let me ask you a couple quick questions about that. I did listen to that audio. It sounded to me like all but one of the cars you approached were actually took you up on your offer.
Yes, and that statistic remained consistent throughout the evening. We got about another 15 to 22 Uber and Lyft vehicles operating.
And John, if you can hear me, I can't hear either of you anymore. So presuming nothing else is going out over the air, I guess it's just me right now. So as we try to resolve these technical difficulties, kids and kittens.
But he can hear you, by the way, Ed. So if you have any questions, go ahead.
Well, I couldn't hear you guys for about 30 seconds there. So go right ahead.
Okay. So you approached a total of 15, you said 15 to 20 of them?
Altogether, 22 Uber and Lyft drivers were approached.
Okay.
About 40 to 50 plates taken.
Okay.
Of the 22 approached, only 3 said no to an illegal cash hail.
Oh.
we have all of those, of course, are on recorded media, video, and audio.
Okay. Okay, so like
we're decompiling those right now, and we'll have more segments in the coming weeks. But part one is on the website, ridesafeworld.com.
Good, good. And like I said, we'll take and farm out the audio here, and we'll put it on the recording here, because I think he's right. Ed's right about one thing. We got one too many audio things kind of going on here at once. So
just one note on this thing, the 7 plates that you'll hear about in the video that is published right now.
Okay.
On all of them, we found absolutely no proper commercial insurance on public information. No commercial operations listed on the Carfax for any vehicle. And the gentleman at the end of the video who claimed to be a public official.
I saw that, or heard that, I should say.
Turns out he is in the county, in a surrounding county around Green Bay, affiliated with some fire department, but we're not sure yet as to which department that is.
Ah. Oh, and he wanted to make it sound like he was big cheese, and you better not record my voice, and you better not broadcast. Oh, I laughed my ass off when I heard that.
You hear him at the end. He's running away, literally running away in his car. And he says all that, and I yell back at him, "Hey, do you want my contact information?"
yeah.
He didn't. He didn't want it. But anyway, that's about it. It's all written up now, and there's also another video on the article on RideSafeWorld.com at the bottom.
Okay.
It is the ticketing situation where one of the Uber vehicles carrying their fancy brand new light up logo on the car is ticketed for blocking traffic and not wearing a seatbelt.
Wonderful. AKA a top light, by the way. That's nothing. That's nothing less.
No, these are these are a special Uber gives these to their top rated drivers. It's a special sign. It goes in the window in the upper passenger side windshield.
Yeah.
And when the customer orders the vehicle, the color of the sign changes to match the customer's phone color.
Really? Now that's kind of freaky.
It's a special new promotion, and they only do it for their top rated drivers. The driver that they have here in Madison using it, when I pulled her over, she opened up her window and a bunch of marijuana smoke rolled out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
And we've got that one on tape too. That's going to be in a forthcoming video. That was on Halloween here in Madison.
All right, Justin, like I said, we'll go ahead and we'll put that, we will put that up on the recorded part of this show. Ed will work magic with it as he usually does.
Yeah. Good talking to you guys. Have a great show and a great day.
Thank you, Justin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Now, let's... Ed, can you hear me now here?
I can hear you just fine. I can't wait to listen to that interview. I heard your side of it. And again, this goes back to, folks, we're going to get these technical issues. This is part of what we're doing.
Oh. Anyway,
I'm sure it was interesting. And I will take a listen to the audio later, and we'll tack it on with the repeat of the show.
Well, I wonder how I lost audio. I just was looking at you here, and I was wondering, how did I lose sharing?
We'll worry about it later.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, okay, what time are we getting to be? 28 minutes after the hour. We got kind of an extended... version, well, not too extended, of Ed versus the Spread. Why don't we
I was told not to play the music today. Da 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 da.
And now let's see if he can continue to do what he's trying to do and still mouth the music.
Okay.
That ought to be interesting.
So let's look at last week. Guess who didn't go 3-0 last week, John?
You did.
Yes. No. Guess again.
Oh, did.
Who,
Who did not go 3-0 last
week? Well, you know, I figured I had to cut you a little bit of a break. Jesus Christ, I've been...
That would be you, my friend.
I've been I've been beating you like a government mule here, and...
You went a miserable, paltry 1-2 last week.
Ooh.
You made one smart move picking the Colts and getting 13.5. Now, guess who did go 3-0 last week?
Oh.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful sight to see, let me tell you. So, you are currently at 28-17. Well, no, forget that for now. For the year, I am currently 137-103. I have pretty much locked in a full winning record again for this year. Last week, overall, I went 11-5. I had a very good week. Not my best week. Week 13, I went 13-3. So here we are with the final weekend of the year, final football week of the year. And, oh, by the way, this is Ed versus the spread, in case I hadn't mentioned it. Now, because John cheats, and he does it so effectively that it's really almost impossible to pick out how he's doing it, John is currently at 28-17. I am at 21-24. I'm seven games behind. I have to win 8 more than he does this week to trounce him as he deserves to be trounced. And as I've said before, it's amazing. Overall, I do fine with my picks. It's just every week I pick the wrong 3 games to go against this cheating son of a gun. So what we're doing this week is we are picking all 16 games against each other. Now, I sent John a list yesterday of all the games and all the point spreads, and he sent me back his picks. Now, he picked the one I'll talk about specifically. He took my Miami Dolphins getting 2.5 points. Well, by default, I always take the Dolphins. That's locked in. So as far as that game is concerned, that's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 15 games that are going to come into play here. And despite every year, the final week of the year is when I take all the data from all year long. I see who's won what versus the spread versus me picking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got to throw it all out the window this year. You know what I did?
What did you do?
I just went opposite of your picks.
Oh, that is what you call, I called it properly then, a Hail Mary attempt.
That is Hail Mary full of grace. I need this now. So I'm going to pick a few out here to talk about. And let's see. Let's talk about your Minnesota Vikings. -12.5 at home against Chicago. It's going to be cold there. Oh, wait a minute. You got the indoor stadium.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to think you got an outdoor stadium.
We'll be in the nice, cozy U.S. Bank Stadium.
Well, then screw that.
With 60,000, 70,000 people all yelling Skol.
Skol?
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They chant Skol. Or you get some guy that's on a big bass drum beating that, and people...
Vikings, I get it now.
Yeah. Here's the reason I went with that. I thought about that because... You know, the Vikings, you know, they've got their playoff berth. They're division champions. But unless I am totally off here, they still have a chance to take the top seed in the playoffs.
I can look at that right now and tell you.
I think a Vikings win and an Eagles loss, if I'm not mistaken, will tie them.
There would be right now. Minnesota going into the week is I've got that wrong. My numbers aren't right, but they're about the same in conference. I don't know if they played head to head this year.
No, they did not play head to head.
Okay. They got a good shot at getting.
I do believe that if the Vikings win and the Eagles lose. Tiebreaker somehow that will give the Vikings the number one seed. Now, I could be totally wrong. They don't pay me to analyze sports for a living.
No, they do not.
But all I can use as a reference on that was earlier in the year when they were tied, about what, three weeks ago, I think it was, they were tied. And the Viking, I heard that if the playoffs began today, the Vikings would be the number one seed, or if the season finished that particular week.
Right.
So.
Well, you've also got Philly's playing Dallas, who still has an outside shot of getting in.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas is going to be playing for all they're worth. Philly's locked in. They've got, at the very least, a first-round bye.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not going anywhere. They're the only thing that's up for grabs is clearly the number one seed. And
I think they value that number one seed, to tell you the truth.
I think they do. I don't discount that, but I think Dallas has a lot more to play for. Philly's in. Philly's got a home game in 2 weeks. They know that for a fact. So I don't know. I think Dallas has been up and down this year, but I think your Vikings just may have a shot at it if they can beat them, their Chicago Bears.
Yes.
And we would be happy to give you Jay Cutler back for the game. We'd be happy to do that.
Oh, you were so giddy at the beginning of the season when...
I was never giddy about Jay Cutler.
Oh, bullshit. You...
I was giddy when we still had Ryan Tannehill. I'm in love with that boy. I am smitten. Let's see who else you picked. You took those New England Patriots over. You gave up 16 points. Now, here's a team that's got everything pretty well locked up. They might be same. I think it might be a similar situation. Yeah, they're neck and neck with Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
but definitely locked into a first round bye.
They are, but again, I think that it's going to be a thing where they want to have that number one seed. I think that
there's no question. That's a pride thing with them. They want that
exactly.
To come through New England. They want everybody to come through New England. So, but 16 points, look, I know they're the Patriots, and, that's still a lot of points. I believe they're going to whoop up on the Jets. I just don't know if 16
points. But two touchdowns, basically to have a two touchdown and a field goal difference. Yeah, I thought about that, but I just think that I think this is going to be a statement game for New England.
Statement game for New England.
Well, no, that's a very valid point. Absolutely.
Look at what they've gotten, the grief they got for what the Dolphins did to them a couple of weeks ago on Monday
mm-hmm.
night. And believe you me, that was a fabulous game to watch if you were a Dolphins fan.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Oh, it was wonderful. And anytime we can rough up Tom Brady like that, oh, it's just it's. Let's find one more. Let's see. Who else do we have in the big... Let me go to the standings and see who's fighting for a spot. Kansas City is just about barely making their way in there after what a fantastic start they had.
They're still division champions. I guess that just goes to show how bad the rest of the division is.
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. Anyway, Baltimore's trying to fight their way in, but they've got to get. They can only come in through a wild card, and you got Atlanta, Carolina are fighting for positioning at this point. So that'll be an interesting week. And
I tell you, Carolina still scares me. So that's why I picked them over Atlanta, even though that they're a 3-point underdog in Atlanta.
Right.
I still pick Carolina on that because they scare me. They are playing great football at the right time.
I'll tell you what surprises me, and this will be the last one we talk about, is the Rams are only 3.5-point favorites over the 49ers in L.A.
That's a little bit surprising, too.
Now, granted, it's not exactly home field advantage for them yet, having just relocated back. But San Francisco has played so poorly this year, I would have thought. But then again, LA really has nothing to play for at this point. They've mm-hmm. locked up the division, I believe.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a 3 seed regardless, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah, that's about where they are. So they get a home game next week. And You know, so I guess they really don't have a lot to play for. So in the end, with that little expert analysis,
yeah,
that's a good line. So that's going to do it for this week, folks, for Ed versus the Spread. Remember, if you're considering gambling based on what we say, you've got issues that we
pretty much.
So good luck on the games. We'll come back here next week. We will review before our playoff picks. And remember, of the 15 games, the Dolphin game is already a wash. I have to win at least 8 of those games. I have to beat him at least 8-7.
And flowers will be taken for the proper burial after this week. Oh, my. I can't believe it.
This is the Spread for 2017. That ends the regular season.
Yes.
We'll talk playoffs next week. All right. What else do we have there,
well,
young man?
Real quick, the week in review here, and I think I have this here somewhere, year in review. Just general stories, without looking at a list, just some of the things that stuck out with you. Whether they be political, whether they be Uber, whether they be just current news type things.
Well, I think what's always telling at this time of year, the last weekend of the year, and as you start going through these year-end reviews, and many people say it, many commentators say it, you almost forget what happened this year.
Oh, especially the people that have passed away.
Well, oh, yeah. But I was going through some old stuff last night, and I came across our October 7th show, and Vegas had just happened. Puerto Rico had just happened. And that's only three months ago. And there's so many things that went on this year. Charlottesville happened. Radio TFI was born. Remember, this wasn't happening in 2016. This is one of the highlights of my year, kids. I was going to talk about that a little bit, but now's as good a time as any. The fact that John and I have put this together, John embraced me into his radio wonderland, and it has evolved into this and a little bit more that we're going to talk about in a few minutes.
Some would say this was more of a poster child for abortion, to tell you the truth.
You can't argue with that point of view. I totally agree. But I mean, this didn't exist. This venue, this. And I know John and I are enjoying the hell out of hell. John Shannon came into my life this year.
And
take that for what you will.
Yeah, ask Annie about how exciting that was that John Shannon came into her life. So
there's a lot of that going on too.
Exactly.
But just this little venue, and you know, we've had some wonderful people come on, and we've been able to talk about the day's events. And for those of you that don't, this is very therapeutic to know you have an outlet every week to come out and talk about what's going on, not only in the world, but in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a new president.
Pardon the hairball.
A year ago, I was thoroughly entrenched in a cab company. That no longer exists. I mean, there's been a lot of good. It's been a horrible year for me, to be quite honest, kids and kittens. But to focus on the positives. Again, Radio TFI, John Shannon. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the wonderful and talented Mike King, who not only came on my Monday night show and killed it despite massive technical difficulties that evening, and that's a shame that that didn't go off better as far as the technical part went, but Mike also was the only person to stand up and offer me a hand when I was at my lowest this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about that, and I won't regurgitate all that. But Mike would not take no for an answer when it came to offering me help. And without him, kids, I tell you what, I'm not sitting where I am right now. I am literally not. I had zero place to go. There was no place for me to go. And he offered me, he said, you will come here, you'll get back on your feet. And, you know, and that's that. I'm not taking no for an answer. And, you know, Gilchrist, love him. Gilchrist came into my life this year. Oh, my goodness. Gilchrist. What did I do before I discovered my Savior, Gilchrist? Every time he embraces me with those tobacco-stained arms and the smelling of smoke and beer, and he smiles with that tobacco-stained teeth, I got to tell you, Gilchrist, that's my Savior. Hurricanes. We hadn't had hurricanes in 12 years. Nothing had hit the U.S. Suddenly, I was impacted by that, and we took a Well, again, Mike and I, we had quite the little adventure.
That was quite the road trip to follow.
It was, taking all the local roads up through the state of Florida, and again, that is how and when we discovered Gilchrist. So, I mean, I had highlights this year, and I'm desperately trying to look at the positives. I had some good things happen to me this year. There was a lot of crap that happened, not only to me personally, but out there in the world. But John, how about you?
Well, you know, the thing that probably sticks out to me, including all of the things you mentioned, the shootings, you know, it seems like we have indeed noticed an uptick, if you can believe that, in whether it be domestic terror with the shootings, whether it be terror that was associated with ISIS, we definitely have noticed an uptick there, I believe. But the thing that really stuck out to me was this onslaught of sexual assault, sexual harassment, claims and accusations against prominent individuals. If I'm not mistaken, it all started with our buddy Harvey Weinstein.
Mr. Weinstein to you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. But Kevin Spacey, Roy Moore, mm-hmm. who actually wound up not necessarily specifically known not only for sexual harassment, but for being a Class A pedophile as well. Al Franken, unfortunately. That one was sad. We have just came up with one here, another one, accusation of local note. Our slugging third baseman of the Minnesota Twins, Miguel Sano, has been accused of getting sexually aggressive with a photographer here, with a local photographer. And we're going to have to see how that plays out. But that has been one of the biggest stories, I believe, in 2017. And I hate to say it, I don't think the calendar flipping to 2018 is going to change any of that.
Oh, no, that floodgate is open and it's not closed.
Yeah, on the personal side of it, you know, I keep one eye out always for Annie and her recovery from her botched surgery from a couple of years ago. She's still been dealing with the side effects with that. I'd hope that things are going to get better in 2018 for her. I admire her because despite everything she's going through, she still soldiers on. She is, even though she had to take some time off, almost 2 weeks off just before the her actual vacation, but she is still teaching. She is still a dedicated teacher. She's dedicated to the gifted and talented program that they have out there. I tell you, I don't know. She takes on a workload that would kill me, and I'm relatively healthy. I don't know how she does it, but there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not proud of her, and I hope that 2018 is a lot better to her than 2017 was. And I think that's about all I got.
That was nice.
I can get sentimental every once in a while when I want to.
I make a habit of it.
Oh, okay. So what do you say? We've talked about the fact that this was 2017 was the maiden year for this show. It all basically stemmed from the fact that I got a bug up my ass and wanted to start doing my show where this all started was the Shannon Files.
But I've heard of that show.
Yeah, so have I.
I've heard it's award winning.
Yeah.
I heard it's outstanding. It's outstanding in the rain waiting for a buzz, but
yeah.
It's outstanding nonetheless.
Yeah, it got the Hydrant Award a couple different times. But anyways, let's go through and talk about some of the things that are going to wind up happening here on Radio TFI.
Radio TFI for 2018, as I have alluded to, there will be new on the technical side, on the in-house, behind-the-scenes side. We have been working feverishly to be able to put out a broadcast that at least sounds like we know what we're doing. Without going into all the major details, we're getting a whole new setup here at the Palatial Radio TFI Estate Studios. So we're hoping that by next week, to start the new year, we'll have all that fresh and with a nice crisp sound. Here's what's also going on, kids and kittens. I promised you the Monday Night Show would be back, and gosh darn it, it's coming back. It will be back Monday, January 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It will not be the Taxi Stand Hour, however. Mm-mm, no. We've broadened the scope. Beginning Monday night, January 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern, tune in live for Radio TFI Presents Uncle Ed's Primetime Jamboree. It'll be a mix of music, comedy, whatever it's falls off of my head, anybody I can get to call in or come in and talk to me, et cetera, et cetera. It will be at least a one-hour show, and depending on the night, who knows. Now, I understand we may have another show kicking in sometime in the new year. John, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, yes, indeed. So, after talking it over with Annie, because I basically have been doing, when I decided to come back and start doing this, I wanted to make sure that, that it didn't interfere with things around the home and things that Annie and I could be doing, or that, we could, better ways to spend our time, basically. Well, as it turns out, Sunday is pretty much just like Saturday around here. We have a tendency to sleep in and have a case of the lazies. There are some weekends where we barely leave the house, to tell you the truth. So I decided, what the hell. So starting in February, actually, I'm not going to stop watching the football season just because of this. But starting Sunday, February 11th, I am going to bring back the Shannon Files. It's tentatively going to air 10 o'clock Eastern. I thought about going a little earlier, but I don't like getting out of bed that damn early. So 10 o'clock Eastern time, we are going to bring back the Shannon Files. At this point in time, I'm thinking about an hour-long show. I do things a little differently than Ed does. But again, it'll be mostly just me monologuing. I might throw in a few audio clips here and there. But it's just going to be me basically doing a week in review. Not necessarily going to be political. I'm going to try to stay away from the taxi industry unless it's a major story. I'm going to try to stay away from that. It's just some of the thoughts, some of the observations that I have had from the previous week. And again, I'll be taking calls too. I'll be inviting guests in. We just hope it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing it before. We hope we can get you to join us. That's not going to be until February 11th, the week after the Super Bowl. So there you go, sir.
Did I mention the new phone number?
Oh, you did not mention a new phone number.
Be a new phone number. We're going to keep the Skype.
Uh-huh.
We're going to keep Skype. We're going to fix Skype, but we're also going to have a for real phone number. Again, once we get that hooked up, we're getting all the studio, all the lines installed. There are workmen here day after day. We even have little mice and hard hats getting the detail work done. It has just been, it's like a Disney movie around here. But not on top of John's new endeavor, or return to an old endeavor, the silliness that will be my 2 hours of glory every week. Remember, kids and kittens, if you'd like a spot on this station, it's here for you. We are always looking for new hosts. You can host your own show if you'd like, whether it be another version of the Taxi Stand Hour. I'd be happy to co-host with somebody else a version a week. If you have something else you want to do, music, whatever.
It doesn't have to be taxi related. It doesn't have to be politics related.
Not at all. If you'd like a slot on this station, we currently have, let me see, if memory serves me, yes, about 140 hours available a week now. So we'll try to squeeze you in somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm also going to try to put up a lot more, especially late at night. I've been combing through and finding some old classic concerts. Like, you'll show your age if you remember this, the King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Oh, it's funny. I've heard of that. Don't ever remember hearing anything of that, but I've heard it.
It was a concert series on radio, syndicated in the 70s. And you got some great bands live. It was fantastic. That kind of thing. We're going to try and put up some different... Remember, we're not paying for anything, so we're not going to have live broadcast or of current things. But I'm always on the lookout for anything audio that might be interesting to catch somebody's ear if you're tuning in. That you might go, oh, what the hell is that? And
it's pretty much what they say about this show. But
well, that's, you know, we do our best to try to hook them in, but then you get to talk too, so that kind of. Moving on.
You finally got a shot in. I am proud of you.
Got a shot? Are you kidding me? My life is predicated on shots. That's all I do. We've got about 3 minutes. Now, kids and kittens, you're not going to hear the closing music as usual because John says no.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think we can do it. So. We're going to end the year here. We're still a couple of minutes out, and we've got a couple of minutes. John, what are your plans for New Year's Eve?
I am probably going to just sit my ass at home. I have flipped around the idea of going out in my little taxi cab and going out here and...
good night.
Well, it would be. What I think I'm going to do is I normally get out early in the morning on Mondays. Mm-hmm. So I might come up there. I might pick up some of the scraps on Monday morning. I don't think I'm going to stay out all day Monday. It's not going to be a normal work day for me. But I think I'm going to go out and pick up some of the scraps just to get my body's clock used to being up at that time because this has been kind of a lazy couple of weeks. So,
let me ask you a question. What time do the bars close in your neck of the woods?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Well... My experience as a nighttime cab driver, having worked low those many New Year's Eves, is there'll still be bodies on the street. You get out there about 3:30-ish.
Yeah.
You'll still be scraping them up.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I don't – you got to also remember that New Year's Eve is going to be colder than the well digger's ass out here.
That is true. That's something I don't deal with.
And I don't necessarily – I don't want to deal with that myself. As much as, because when we get that cold, one of the things we have to also worry about around here is what's known as black ice. Where you look like you're driving down regular pavement, and all of a sudden you hit a patch of ice that you didn't even see coming.
All right, I got to stop you there. It is time for the final time this year, John.
Yes. Well, in that case, this is John Shannon. That's Ed Van Ness. And we'll see you next year. Adios.
See ya.